My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor at First Open Bible. Glad that you're here this morning. God's got a good word for you today. Today we're going to conclude our series titled Heroes. We don't have any notes in there. Pastor Mark is on vacation with his bride and his family. So you got to actually take your own notes today. Hallelujah. We're going to conclude our series titled Heroes. If you look in the Bible, our heroes of the faith, they were selfless. They were full of courage, faithful, and obedient. All the humble ones, didn't even consider themselves heroes at all. When we want to learn about what it truly means to be a hero of the faith, we should look at the greatest hero of the faith. We look to Jesus. Our world is obsessed with heroes, celebrities, and athletes. We're obsessed with someone who's the center of attention, achieving greatness and fame and power and riches and saving the day. But Jesus showed us a different way of being a hero. Jesus came to be our hero. But he also came to show us how to be hero makers. So about 7 years ago, I started reading a book called Hero Maker. Notice I didn't say I read a whole book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do read the first 3-4 chapters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would literally pay double to get the Cliff Notes. Anyway, about 7 years ago, I started reading this book called Hero Makers by Dave Ferguson. Now, what's really cool is he was the keynote speaker last month when we went to Open Bible National Convention, when we went to Florida. And it was pretty cool. But toward the beginning of that book, there's this great story about basketball. Raise your hand if you like basketball. Amen. I love basketball. I always have. Since fourth grade when I picked up the rock, right? My father-in-law can tell you, I've never met a shot that I did not think would go in. Hallelujah. Pass me the rock, it's going up. Okay, it's true. I like to shoot. Well, there's this guy named Isaiah Thomas. He's a Hall of Famer. And he was a superstar point guard, best known for leading the Detroit Pistons to two NBA championships in 1989 and 1990. He played in the same era as Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and right before Michael Jordan took over the NBA. Isaiah Thomas was interviewed a while back and he was asked the secret to winning an NBA championship. Thomas paused and he smiled and he hinted there is definitely a secret to winning championships. And this is what he said. He said, the secret of basketball is that it's not about basketball. He goes on in the interview to talk about chemistry that's on the team. Thomas, at the end of his interview, drove his point home. He said, being the best in basketball is really all about the team. Everyone must put the team first. He went on to say this, lots of times on our team, you couldn't even tell who the best player in the game was. It's the only way to win. See, church, most people think winning is all about having the star players who score the most points, get the most rebounds, have the highest percentage, and have all the right stats, especially people who think LeBron is the GOAT. You know what else people think if you think LeBron is the GOAT? You think that having all that guarantees success. Guess who I think the GOAT is? There's a good hit. Who's that? Come on, Michael Jordan. Shoot, get in the back row. You go get in the back row. Come on. Come on now. Oh, baby. Come on now. Most uncomfortable shoes to wear playing basketball, but he is still a stud. Hallelujah. Anyway, we think that star players that we're supposed to score the most points and have the most rebounds, highest percentages, have all the right stats, but real success is having players who are willing to sacrifice personal success for the sake of the team, even to the point that they're forfeiting their own stats. You know, winners understand that they play for the name that's on the front of the jersey, not the name that's on the back of the jersey. You know, Jesus had a team. He had a team of ordinary men, a team of disciples, followers, observers, and doers. He knew it wasn't about stats or individual glory or even about superstars. Jesus didn't build a platform. Jesus built people. He knew he was going to equip his team to do the incredible. Jesus was equipping his team to do the heroic and to do the impossible. John 14:12, this is what Jesus said. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus came to empower others, to raise up disciples who would then carry his mission forward, because Jesus is the ultimate hero maker. And he's calling us to do the same, church. He wants us on his championship team. Now, this is going to maybe hurt some feelings today, but if you've been here very long, we like to do that. We like to offend the flesh to speak to the spirit. We like to offend the flesh to speak to the soul. We like to offend the flesh and say, crucify your flesh so you can live what God is calling you to. So I got something to tell you right now. This may be a hard concept to believe, but you were never meant to be the hero. In the American Christian community, some believers have made the pastor the hero. Or in the American Christian community, we've made an individual church the hero. But Jesus is the hero. Jesus died for the villain. He set the captives free. He delivered us. He rescued those who were lost. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Jesus died so we could live. Jesus beat evil, sickness, death, and the grave, because Jesus is the hero, church, not us. He's the hero. You know what we are? We're role players. And Jesus is the superstar. Our job is to win with his team. Heroes of the faith, they don't build platforms, they build people. Godly heroes don't do what they do for their glory, they do it for the glory of the Lord. I love what Jesus says in John 14:12. He says something that's absolutely radical. He says, "You will do greater things than these." Not because we're greater than Jesus, but because he chose to multiply through us. See, when you meet Jesus, he not only transforms your life, he also transforms the purpose of your life. Today, I want to challenge everybody to make a shift. If you're ready, say ready. Ready. Here's the shift. Stop leading and living like a hero and start leading and living like a hero maker. Jesus is the hero and we're his role players. All right, if you're taking notes, there's 5 shifts from hero to hero maker. 5 quick shifts that you're making from hero to hero maker. Here's 1. You have to go from me to multiplying. From me to multiplying. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Hero makers think multiplication, not addition. Hero makers ask, "Who can I grow?" Not just, "How can I grow?" You don't need a platform to make disciples. Here's what you need. You need intentionality. Discipleship starts where you are, and it starts with what you have. This week, don't just hear the word of God. Do something with it, and do it for someone else. Jesus invested into 12 men, and they reached thousands. That is kingdom multiplication. This week, I want you to write down one or two names. Who is God calling you to pour into? Look around you. Who's watching you? Who's following you? Who needs you to speak into their life? Who can you invest in? Let's stop living for personal success and start living for spiritual succession. Hero makers go from a me mindset to a multiplication lifestyle. So many people just live for themselves. My own dreams, my own desires, my own. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But Jesus died for more than that. You're selling yourself short. You think it's all about you, but it's no longer about you. When you give Jesus your life is no longer your own. You are no longer the hero. You're a hero maker. In church, when you multiply your life into others, your impact outlives you. Number two is this. We have to go from control to release. Go from control to release. Jesus is talking to his disciples, specifically this guy named Peter, one of my favorites. Matthew 16, 18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Hero makers release authority. They call out the potential in others. They see what God sees in others, and they call it out before it's even visible. Think about this. I mean, who led the early church? A lot of times we read a lot of stuff about Paul, but before Paul even came along, when Jesus ascended to heaven, who led the church? Peter did. Who helped Paul know what Paul was supposed to do when it came to following Jesus? Peter's one of them. But Peter was a mess. He was a mess. The brother had such a big mouth, he put both shoes in his mouth multiple times. He's like, there's one foot, there's another foot. Delicious. And you know it was really dusty back then too. But you know what? Jesus, what did he do with Peter? Peter was unstable, emotional, and inconsistent. Yet Jesus calls him rock. He didn't wait for Peter to be perfect. Jesus spoke to his potential. He supernaturally saw past his current unstable reality. You know what? Somebody took a chance on me to be the pastor of First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Somebody took a chance on me to be a youth pastor. Somebody took a chance on me and said I might share the gospel with this crazy, really loud, weird child, right? And I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Somebody said something and did something, and they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. Anybody else living that life? So here's a question for you. Here's a couple questions. Are you trying to be the hero, or are you trying to raise up heroes? Are you building your own name, or are you releasing others to lift up the name of Jesus? We're called to see someone, invest in someone, and then one day release that someone. This week, try giving someone permission to lead. Let them speak. Let them serve. Let them try. Let them fail forward. Don't just lead them. Help launch them. You know what control creates? Control creates followers. Letting go liberates leaders. You know, I could stand up here all day and I can try to control the ministry, control the people, control the situation, try to control it. But my job is not to control. It's to be led by the Spirit and release at the right times, in the right people, speaking life into the right people and allowing them to rise up in the things that God has called them to. It's to see them, speak to them, and release them. I don't control anybody, but I steward all things God puts in front of me. Church, listen, if you step out of the way, you might just witness God doing more through them than he's ever done through you. And guess what that is, my friend? That's fruit of a true hero maker. Number three. Is this good? Hallelujah. Back row, is this good? Okay. Number three. From hero to hero maker, you need to go from teaching to training. Teaching to training. You know, we've kind of done an injustice. I mean, there has to be a teaching, but we've done an injustice to you for many, many years. Maybe not specifically here, but just from this mantle, from preachers. We've allowed to just teach you, but we've never really truly given you an opportunity to be trained. Like, you sit and soak. You observe, but you don't participate. You know who I'm speaking to, okay? If you've been at this church any longer than a couple weeks and you have not gotten involved or shared with your heart that you want to get involved, what are you doing here? Are you even living the Christian life? The Christian life follows Jesus, and Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. I've never been in a church where I didn't serve at some capacity. Even if it's like, I got to clean something, I got to do something. I don't understand sitting and soaking and then just being grumpy all the time. You can go to the church down the street. That's not who we are. That's not who God has called us to be. We're to be all in together to win as a championship team. We all have gifts. You say, Pastor, I don't know where to serve. This is what you do. Lord Jesus, what are the gifts that you've put in my life and how can I use them for the kingdom? I know I'm good at things. I know I'm trying at things, and I know I have a desire for certain things. Well, maybe you want me to use those things for your kingdom, so reveal it to me now, Lord, and then I'm going to call the church office and say, is there any opportunity for this? Or maybe you don't even know. He said, hey, what do you need to serve? You know how many times we've almost had to close down the kids' ministry because no one's serving? Just this year. We have two services. We've grown, well, summer's really weird, but before the summer, we grew 100 people in 2 months. And out of those 100 people and out of people that normally attend, we've had one, maybe two, maybe three people actually serve. Attend one, serve one. That's the mission that we want to have. Attend one, serve one, or serve one, attend one. You got to get involved. God is calling you to do more than what you're doing now. And maybe it's not here. Maybe it's somewhere else that you got to serve. But your life is a life of servanthood if you truly follow Jesus, because he's the greatest servant of all. You got to go from teaching, am I on three? Yeah, teaching to training. I love this. The Apostle Paul, he pours into a guy named Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, you, right, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. The Apostle Paul didn't just teach Timothy, he trained him. Hero makers don't just teach, they train. See, teaching informs, but training equips. You got to go from watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. You know, 20% of the church does 80% of the work. That's just the stat that comes out. Watch me, watch me. Maybe because we got to release something. Now, why don't you go and do it? Teaching transfers knowledge, but training transforms lives. If you're in a role of leadership and you have an opportunity, or certain people that God has just put a hand on, that they're just natural born leaders. You've heard that before. Well, that's a gifting that God has given them. They're to lead others. I'm speaking to my leaders right now. You know a bad leader? You know when you see a bad leader? A bad leader is when they step out of their position and no one can fill it. That's a bad leader. Maybe a prideful one, or somebody that's maybe insecure or something, or something's going wrong, or maybe they haven't stepped out and actually, instead of informing people, they've transformed people by training people. A good leader can step out and watch God keep working. Because he's raising people up. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did over and over and over again. Leaders, I want to speak to you right now. You know what you should do? You should give everything away that you've ever learned. Hold nothing back. There's no reason to hold it back. Why are you holding it back anyway? That you might have a little peace so you can have something over them? Give everything you've ever learned away, all your failures, your successes, your scars, your victories, your wisdom. Help people grow. Let their ceiling be your starting point. Right? Someday my son, he's going to be in ministry. And I pray everything daddy's ever done, he can start there and he can go further and farther than I've ever been or done. There are people that you got to instill in, you got to pour into. You got to say, hey, listen, I'm going to give you everything away so you start better than I did. So you go further than I've gone. If there's anything I can do to help you, I will help you. Don't just disciple with your words. You have to disciple with your life. We're called to walk with somebody. Meet regularly with them. Pour into their life like Paul poured into Timothy. You need to model Jesus and teach like Jesus taught and lead like he led. Raise up others in the Lord. Because your legacy won't be what you accomplished. Your legacy will be who you empowered. Heroes teach disciples, but hero makers train them. All right, number four. We have to go from position to activation. I kind of was flowing in a little bit of that just a second ago. Position to activation. 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says this, a spiritual gift is given to each. Say each, church. Each of us. Why? So we can help each other. You have something that we need. You have something for the kingdom of God that the kingdom of God needs. You've been given a gift. You're a gift to the kingdom and what you can do for the kingdom. Do you know that? You're a gift. But you're withholding your giftings for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe you're scared, but you do not have the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Step out. Enough's enough. Live a life worthy of the call. That's my favorite. Ephesians 4:1. Live a life worthy of the call, for you have been called by God. Here's leadership. Leadership is about activating gifts. It's not being afraid of people with giftings. Weak leaders are afraid of people who are very gifted. Secure leaders who love the Lord will allow those giftings to blossom the kingdom of God. It's not about the position as much as it is about activating purpose. We have future preachers, prophets, and evangelists in the pews. If you feel called to preach, prophesy, or evangelize, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, prepare them and position them at the right time. Prepare them for what they've been called to. For you have plans to prosper them, not to harm them, but to give them a hope and a future. And they want to be used by the kingdom of God to give you glory in all things. So God, I pray that this preparation time right now, you're preparing them. And then one day you're going to position them and anoint them to go with purpose. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. And there's other people that didn't even stand up because you know what? You're still waiting for someone to call it out and activate it in you. There's a gift inside of you that God has placed. There's a calling and a purpose and a plan for your life. You know what we have to do? We have to go from being a crowd that wants to be entertained to a team that wants to be empowered. When we work together, every role, every gift, every voice will be in motion, and hell will tremble because heaven is moving on earth. So it's time we start working together as a team with many players, with many different roles. But we do it for one purpose and one goal, and that's to advance the kingdom of God. This week, I want you to try to affirm someone's gift. Some of y'all are going to be freaked out about this, and praise God. You know, you're really, really good at talking negative, but God says that your tongue has the power of life and death. How about you use it for the kingdom instead of the devil? So here it is. Here's my challenge to you. This week, I want you to try to affirm someone's gift. Say to them, you know what? I see this in you. You're gifted at this, and God's hand is on you in this area. I want you to speak life to them. Help activate the giftings by speaking life into their situation. Hero makers stop just holding a position and they start activating a generation. All right, number five is this. Lastly is this. Hero makers go from success to significance. They go from success. I don't see a lot of hands writing. You're just going to listen later? Okay, cool. All right, success to significance. Note takers are? History makers. Come on now. Okay. Maybe you need to write that down. Let's see. You see what I did right there. Okay. Number five, you got to go from success to significance. Heroes want success. Hero makers want significance. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. You know all the things that you think you need? You don't actually need those things. If you live righteously and you seek the things above, he'll tell you what you need, and he'll provide it for you. Success is about building your thing, but significance is about building God's thing. Hero makers are focused on God's kingdom, not their own empire. And hero makers don't chase platforms. They pursue people and they pursue purpose. Hero makers don't compete for applause. They contend for the kingdom of God. You know what? While others are building empires, hero makers are building disciples. Don't just invest into a moment, right? We're Pentecostals. We like the moment. Oh, it feels good. God's, you know, how was church today? Oh, God moved today. You know, God moves every day. But God moved today. No, you just positioned yourself to know and feel how he was moving. You actually separated yourself for a while, right? Youth that came back from camp, you felt the move and the reality of God. Guess what? He spoke to you a week ago too. But he's doing amazing things in your life. I love camp. Camp brings a fire. And I pray that fire doesn't burn out. It might look different in a couple weeks, but it won't burn out. We don't want to just invest into a moment. We want to invest into a life. We want to invest into a person. We need to invest into a future leader. I want to flip the script real quick. When someone else's ministry grows, how about you celebrate it? Down the street, they're growing like crazy. All kinds of people are coming to Christ. They're getting set free and delivered. And we act like we're annoyed. We're on the same team. Oh, I can't believe that they're growing and things are happening. It's like, no, praise God. If they're preaching Christ crucified, he was raised from the dead, and he's the only way, truth, and life, then praise God for that. You know, there's a lot of secondary things we get hung up on, but if the primary thing is there and the kingdom of God is growing and the lost are coming to be saved, praise God. Right? And if they have to come visit and get filled with the Holy Spirit and then go back, okay, come on to the Pentecostals. We got you. How about we flip the script on this too? When another leader shines in giftings, how about you honor them instead of talking behind their back? Come on. When their godly influence is effective, how about we praise God for it? Because when the kingdom of God wins, team Jesus wins. We got to stop chasing personal success and start living for kingdom significance. It's time to watch God do more through what you release than what you try to control. Well, that's for somebody in here. It's time to let God do something amazing through what you release, not what you keep trying to control. In the kingdom of God, greatness is found not in trying to do it all yourself. It's found in raising up others to do more. Jesus didn't change the world alone. He invested into people. He made disciples who made disciples who are still making disciples today. So I want to ask you some questions as we get closer to wrapping up here. Who are you raising up? Who are you discipling? Who are you praying for? Who are you speaking life into? Who are you helping equip and then releasing them? Brent, will you please come? Church, I want us to take a moment and think about those questions. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, who are you speaking to my heart about? Who is it that I can pour into? Who is it that I can speak life to? Who have you put in my path? Who do I work with, live with? Who's my family? Who's my friends, my coworkers, the person I keep seeing all the time? I know somebody in here today, you've been seeing someone the last couple weeks over and over again. You're like, why is that? Maybe because God is wanting you to speak life into their situation. It's not by accident. There's no such thing as coincidence in the kingdom of God. Coincidence is the world's way of saying that God wanted to be anonymous. God is always doing something. He's always aligning things. He's always positioning things. He's always preparing people and places and times. May you open your spiritual eyes. Open your spiritual ears. Open up your heart. Realize your life is more than what you are living it for right now. Before we go this morning, let's prepare for communion. Hopefully grab one of these. Now, communion is our reminder his body was broken, his blood was shed, so we could multiply his kingdom, so we can share with others what Jesus has done for all of us. Hebrews 12:2 says this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross and discarded its shame. Do you know Jesus is the hero of all heroes? Amen. Isaiah, please lower the lights. Thank you. Jesus is the hero of all heroes, not because he avoided suffering, but because he embraced it. Not because he watched from a distance, but because he stepped into our world, carried our cross, conquered the grave, and he fought the battle we couldn't win. He paid the price we couldn't afford, and he made a way that we didn't deserve. And now because he rose, we live. Do you know that a lot of us think that we're waiting to live for eternity when we die, but the moment you find Jesus is the moment that you start living forever. You're already living forever if Jesus is your Savior. He's alive and we're alive. Taking communion is not only about remembering his sacrifice, it's also a moment of calling. Jesus gave his life not just to save us, but also to send us. There's power in the blood. Jesus gave his life up for us to follow him, to be his disciples, and to help make more disciples. As we imitate the ultimate hero of our faith, we become hero makers. It's just a natural progression in your faith. When we remember what Jesus did for us, our lives are not only transformed, but the purpose of our life is now transformed as well. Please take your bread. Now, this bread represents his body that was broken for us. Our hero became the lamb Word became flesh. And he was pierced and crushed so we could be restored and sent. Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus, for your willing sacrifice so we could live. Thank you for the power of the cross. We're alive because you're alive. You took and bore our pain, our shame, our sickness, and our disease. Every whip, every lash sets us free and heals us. We thank you, Jesus. We remember today. Amen. Now let's take our juice. Now, this cup represents his blood that was poured out for forgiveness of our sins. It's not just a symbol of cleansing, it's also a sign of commissioning. His blood covers us and then calls us out to go and sin no more. Let's take this cup together, grateful for our redemption and ready to multiply his mission. Let's partake. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood, God. Oh, the blood of Jesus has set me free, healed me, delivered me, found me in my weakness. And you're strengthening us now, God. Your blood was enough. Your blood was enough. Your blood is still enough. God, help us not live for ourselves. We're not the hero. We're to be hero makers. You're the hero, and we recognize you today. Church, will you please stand with me? I got a couple things to say before we sing and go home. It's this. Here we are. We've taken the bread, we've taken the juice, and we've remembered the cross. We've honored the greatest hero of our faith. But let's not leave the same we came in. I pray that we leave activated, commissioned, and empowered. Do you know Jesus is the only one that can take your pain and give it purpose? You know, the world doesn't need more Christians. Here's what the world needs. It needs more disciples. It needs more disciple makers. It needs more hero makers. Let the legacy of communion not end in this moment. Let it continue in our lives. Because the greatest way to honor the hero of our faith is to go out and live just like he did. To multiply like he multiplied. To disciple like he discipled. To release like he released. And to make heroes of others just like he did. Church, I want you to go and live as hero makers. He's worthy. Hallelujah.